Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Hello Tomorrow podcast, offering weekly optimism on building a future that doesn't suck. Remember, optimism is not blind hope. It's a rebellion strategy. Revolutionaries are always optimists who fight for the future they envision. You and I are rebels for a positive future. Today, we're going to talk about violence. It's been a violent week here in the United States. As you've almost certainly heard, conservative activist Charlie Kirk was shot and killed at a university event in Utah. As you may or may not have heard, that same day, a 16-year-old student opened fire at Evergreen High School here in Colorado, less than 30 minutes from where I live. According to Everytown, this was at least the 100th incident of gunfire on school grounds in the U.S. this year. Headlines like these pierce through the fog and cause us to feel like we're experiencing a sudden spike in violence. But the truth is, statistically, last week likely wasn't any more violent than usual. I'll share some more information on that data in a moment. And sadly, that is what should really scare us. Is the violence we're swimming in? It's constant. We're drowning in violence, the kinds we see and the kinds we don't. And it's the second kind I want to talk about first. There's a certain kind of violence that doesn't show up in breaking news alerts. It doesn't make your phone buzz. It's hard to even name because it's so normal. I call these things invisibly violent. We don't notice these things. We might not even think about them as violent at first. They're kinds of violence that are so embedded into our systems, our workplaces, our economies, our governments, that we barely notice them at all. But as I will show you, to be human is to be born into nonstop exposure to violence. Violence is everywhere in the water we swim in, and it impacts everything. Let's talk about a few examples of invisible violence embedded in our systems. We'll start with one that's been getting more visible in recent decades, the patriarchy. The patriarchy is invisibly violent. If you identify as a woman, you likely don't need me to explain this at all. If you identify as a man, you may or may not have any clue what this really, truly, deeply means. The patriarchy is violent, not because every man is violent, but because the patriarchal structure itself is built on domination, subjugation, and control. Okay, next one. Here's one I talk about a lot. Hierarchy. Hierarchy at work is invisibly violent. Again, not because every manager is violent, but because the system itself is constructed around a belief that you are stupid, lazy, and not to be trusted with things like decision-making. Too intense? Think I'm wrong? Ponder everything your employer can take from you, especially if you live here in the United States. Lose your job here? You don't just lose your income. You lose your health care, your housing stability, your identity, your access to medication, your ability to take care of your kids. It's no surprise that one of our primary American cultural exports is workaholism. Let's talk about another, poverty. Poverty is invisibly violent, not because the poor are violent, but because the structures that cause and perpetuate poverty are. If you've never been poor, let me tell you, everything becomes harder. I haven't really talked about this publicly yet, but when I lost my last company, I nearly lost everything. I got seriously lucky because there were still a few pandemic-era relief programs floating around. One of those let me defer my mortgage. Without that, I would have lost my place to live. I got lucky too because I had paid into unemployment for a couple years prior, and I live in Colorado, a state with a halfway decent social safety net. I also got lucky because I qualified for Medicaid for a time, which was, in a word, amazing, and I miss it terribly. But I wasn't prepared for what happened to me. I am privileged and I am lucky. Many entrepreneurs don't get lucky. Many workers aren't privileged. Our systems don't support the poor, they punish them. And this is not because the people working inside the system serving the poor are bad. Far from it, actually. The people serving the poor are usually battle-hardened, burned-out, gritty-as-hell frickin' warriors who put up with unbearable bureaucracy and completely untenable pay to help others survive. So let's be clear about that, too. Serving the poor also makes you poor. The violence of poverty is perpetuated all the way down. Now, none of these things are bugs in the system. This is the way the system is designed. Our systems, more often than not, at this point in history, are invisibly violent. Let me give you a few more examples, and we'll explore these in more detail down the road. First one, human capital. I hate this phrase. This is a deeply violent phrase. It's one of the most grotesque ideas we have ever normalized, turning beautiful, vibrant humans into some kind of financial token, something that could be bought and sold. Human capital. Gross. Another one, short-termism. Short-termism is a violent strategy. It prioritizes the now, usually at the direct expense of the future. Short-termism is the root cause of environmental collapse, human burnout, and I think all business decisions that kill long-term trust. Short-termism, violent. One more. Billionaireitis. Billionaireitis is my word for the mental illness of hoarding billions of dollars. This is inherently a violent lifestyle. It is impossible to make $1 billion without exploitation. I mentioned earlier, I wanted to get a sense of just how visibly violent things are in America, week to week, in general. I didn't expect this research to be uplifting, but it literally made me sick to my stomach. It was also depressingly hard, even with AI tools. The best source I found, gunviolencearchive.org. Now, this is a publicly accessible crowdsourced database of every known incident of gun-related violence in the U.S. It's a really fabulous resource, but here's the thing. It's too big to search. Really. I asked it for just 2025 stats, just this year, and it couldn't give them to me. Not because the site's broken, but because the database is so massive, it caps your results. You get 25 incidents per page. Each maximum search return is 80 pages. Okay, so that's 2,000 entries. That search didn't even get me back to the start of 25, not even close. 2,000 entries only got me back a month, mid-August. 1 month, 2,000 recorded incidents of gun violence. Wrap your head around that. This is what I mean when I say violence is the water we swim in. Even the visible violence is constant to the point where we don't notice it at all. Unless we get a week like last week, and someone is killed who breaks through the media barrier. Using Everytown data, I can tell you that last week was not more violent, at least inside our schools. It definitely didn't make the top 10, and based on my analysis, probably wouldn't even be in the top 100 worst weeks. Now that is depressing, my friends. But it also validates just how important it is that we start recognizing invisible violence. Because if the visible violence is this omnipresent, how much worse is all the violence we don't see? Last week, I promised you an optimistic lens on what's broken. This week, that feels pretty hard. But I want to remind you, optimism isn't blind hope. This is a rebellion strategy. The only way we can make something better is by seeing it for what it is now. So, what do? I think that's exactly it. We start by seeing it, by naming it. We stop pretending that violence only comes in the form of bullets, fists, or breaking news barriers. We stop waiting for tragedy before we recognize the daily brutality that's embedded into the systems we live in. And then we start building something else. Then we can start building something more regenerative, more just, more human. Because if we're going to survive, let alone thrive, we have to stop swimming in poisoned water and pretending it's fine. So today, the optimistic choice is to stop ignoring the invisible violence all around us. One more thing. If you've been on the receiving end of visible or invisible violence lately in your community, at your workplace, in the healthcare system, or in any system that made you feel small, powerless, or unsafe, I just want to say you are not imagining it. It is real, and you are not alone. So together, let's see the invisible violence. Let's start to name it. Let's start to call it out. Let's realize that it is not normal and it is not something we need to put up with. And then let's build what comes next. Thanks for listening. See you next week.